Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass. I like those words anywhere in the Scripture because that tells me it happened. That as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, Jesus said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And all that were with him at the catch of the fish which they had taken. So it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word that is relevant for this very moment. May thy anointing rest upon these lips of clay and upon all who hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. It is essential tonight for you and I to have faith in Christ. Can't go to heaven without that. Can't be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. Cannot be sanctified wholly without faith. Cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit without faith. Cannot be delivered without faith. Cannot have victory without faith. You can't go to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ. But on the other side of the coin is obedience. Faith and obedience is what brings these things that are essential to our lives to us. Thank God for churches. Thank God for the things that we have available to us to know about God. But unless we have faith in Him to the point of obedience, it doesn't work. Most people believe that Jesus died on the cross. Just look at Easter Sunday. Across America, how many people will be in churches? They believe He died on Friday. They believe He rose from the dead on Sunday. They believe that He ascended back to the Father. They believe that He is seated at the Father's right hand this very moment. So does the devil. What the Bible says, the demons in hell believe and they tremble. So this is more than believing there is a God. Stay with me. This is more than believing there is a God who has a son named Jesus. It is obeying Him in every area of our life. Now here is Jesus. The people pressed upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. Wouldn't it be great today to have people to get hungry for the Word of God again? Wouldn't it be great one more time to see people wipe the dust off of their Bibles and begin to not just read it as Gone with the Wind book, but meditate upon it and let it change their lives? Wouldn't it be great tonight to see our churches across the country really get hungry for God's Word? But so many times all we want to hear is how God wants to bless us, and I believe in that. But if you read the Gospel's account, Jesus not only told them how wonderful they were, He not only blessed them, but He called them brood of vipers. That wasn't very nice. But that's what He called them. You see, God today is a God of love, yes. But He is also a God who wants us to line up with the Word of God. He's a God today that wants to bless us. But He's a God tonight who says, you must obey My Word. And they wanted to hear the Word of God. They pressed upon Him. It wasn't convenient. But they continued to press upon Him so they could hear the Word of God. Because the Word of God is life, is it not? The Word of God is the very breath of life. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in what God says, is there not? In the beginning, before there was anything, before anything existed, visible or invisible, God spoke. And it was. He said, let there be light. And there was. Let there be night. And there was. He spoke. And He divided the land and made the seas of this old world. He spoke. And He breathed into man and he became a living soul. He spoke and the stars and the galaxies and the moon came into existence. He spoke the Word. And that which was not became. You see, this is a God tonight, beloved, that has power in His words. And this is what He has said. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says. But My Word never will. The words that I have spoken, Jesus says, will never pass away. It was relevant in the last generation. It's relevant for this generation. If this world tarries, it will be relevant for the next generation. It was the answer for the past generations. It is the answer for this generation. It will be the answer for generations to follow. Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. For John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And beloved, this is Jesus right here speaking to me and you. And today He wants you and I to experience His blessings. But He says, you must believe Me and you must obey Me. To obey is better than sacrifice. Bring the sacrifice of praise. But obedience. We must get hungry for the Word of God. It can change your situation faster than that. It can turn darkness into light faster than that. It can do in your life what nothing else can. It's the Word, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. What does that tell us? That tells us tonight that they have called it a day. It's over. And Jesus entered Simon's ship. Said, "Simon, thrust out a little." And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep." Everybody begins shallow. You look at the greatest saints you've ever known. There was a time they were shallow Christians. You look at the greatest person you've ever known to live a holy life. There was a time they were shallow in their personal experience with God. So many times today, we want to become like someone else overnight. But let me remind you of something. They didn't get there overnight themselves. It was through the trials and the temptations and the battles of life. It was through overcoming some obstacles. It was praying through when everybody else says it's hopeless. It was holding on to the nail-scarred hand of God when everybody else had given up on them. You see, beloved, it is you and I tonight, my friend, just trusting and obeying this man called Jesus tonight. We've got to personally launch out in the deep. We cannot stay on the shoreline. We cannot stay close to where there is safety. We can't keep one foot in the boat, the other one on the water. We're going to have to launch out into the deep. Individuals have to launch out on the deep. Churches have to launch out on the deep. Because that is where God wants us. Amen. God doesn't want any of us shallow, insecure, unstable. He wants all of us tonight, my dear friend, to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. He wants all of us to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. He wants all of us, my friend, tonight, to be so rooted and so grounded now, my friend, that so when the storms of life come, we will not be shaken. If I build my life on the things of this world, it's as sinking sand. And I will not be able to stand when the storms come to my life. But if I build my life on the stone that the builders rejected, Jesus Christ, who now is the chief cornerstone, let the storms come. When they cease, I will still be standing. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world tonight. See, storms are a part of life. Storms are going to come. Preacher, I don't have any storms in my life right now. There's one brewing in your life right now. It may be around the next minute. It may be tomorrow. It may be some next week, next month, next year. But sometime or another, you're going to have another storm if you live long enough. That's why, my friend, We got to be rooted. We got to be firm. We got to know in whom we have believed and be fully persuaded that what God has promised us, we're convinced. We're fully convinced. We have no doubts that He is going to keep us under the coming of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to have that confidence tonight. And as the writer of Hebrews says, cast not away your confidence. We cannot cast away our confidence tonight, my friend. We got to keep our confidence, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. For that's the only thing that's going to hold us steady when the storms of life come to us. When trouble comes, who we're going to turn to? If we're rooted and we've launched out on the deep, we can turn to Jesus. And when we're sinking, when we're going under, He'll do to us like He did to Peter. He'll come and put His arms around about us, and He will take us to safety. That's why I need this Jesus tonight. That's why I need to trust Him. That's why I need to obey Him. Because, my friend, I'm going to need Him more tomorrow than I need Him tonight. But Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. And Simon answered Jesus, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That sound familiar? Lord, I prayed. No change. Lord, I fasted. No change. For you said some things come about only through prayer and fasting. So, Lord, I put fasting to my prayers. But, Lord, no change. I've toiled all night. Lord, I've studied your word. No change. Lord, I've been faithful. No change. Lord, I've obeyed you, but no change. Lord, I've gone to church every time the doors are open, but Lord, I don't see more change in my life than I see the change in the person that comes when it's convenient. Lord, I've toiled all night. Lord, I've lived the life that I knew that you wanted me to live. And Lord, I've tried, I've endeavored, I've done all that I know to do, Lord, just to live as close to you as I can. But Lord, it seems as though all the blessings are passing me by. Lord, I've toiled all night. And so, Lord, I don't know what else to do. What does the Word of God say? Do not grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. We must not grow weary. We must not begin to wash our nets and call it quits. Preaching to somebody. We must not begin to wash our nets and say, what's the use? We must not begin to wash our nets and say, Lord, I think I can do it on my own now, so I'm just going to go home and forget about the whole thing. Lord, I have toiled all night, and I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Not because they're doing it down the road. Not because my friends are doing it. Not because the preacher is doing it. Not because this is the latest fad coming down the pipeline. But Lord, because you said it. Lord, because you said to do it, that's why I'm going to do it, and I don't need anybody's approval. I don't need anybody's opinion. Lord, because your word says to do it, I am going to do it. Now, folks, when we get to that point, I mean, something is about to happen. When we get to that point in our spiritual lives, my friend, I mean, there is a miracle just around the corner for us. When we say, Lord, I don't understand it. I have toiled all night. I'm tired. I'm wearied. And Lord, it seems as though it's all in vain. But Lord, at your word, I'm going to do it one more time. Amen. Get all excited about that myself. How many have lost out with God because they wouldn't do it one more time? How many miracles have passed people by because they wouldn't trust Him one more day? How many blessings have passed people by because they wouldn't trust Him and obey Him? One more Sunday. God's never late. He's never been late for you one time. It may appear that He's late. I'm sure that Simon Peter thought that Jesus was late Himself. He just didn't say it. Lord, why didn't you tell me to let down the net yesterday? Lord, why didn't you show up yesterday? We wouldn't have had to toil all night. Amen. Lord, if you just showed up a little earlier, I mean, I wouldn't have to went through all of this stuff I'm going through. Lord, if you'd just been here about midnight, it would have been a lot better for me. But as it was, I had 6 or 7 more hours to go. Did you ever wonder where Jesus was? Well, let me tell you where He is. He's still seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for you. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, Jesus said nets. But Simon only let down one. But he let down a net. Old Simon wasn't even perfect. But look what Peter accomplished in the book of Acts. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great multitude of fish, and their net was breaking. I would say, Scripture doesn't say it one way or the other, so you can't prove me wrong. But I would imagine old Simon was awful glad he obeyed. I imagine old Simon said, I was tired just a little while ago. Right now, I am energized. Isn't it amazing how Jesus can change an attitude? Isn't it amazing how an answer to prayer can change a Christian? Isn't it amazing how just one little glimpse of hope that things are getting better, I mean, it can just energize us? And my friend, here is Simon and those other disciples. I mean, they are catching some fish. They toiled all night. But Jesus says, throw it in. Scripture doesn't say, again, what I'm about to say. But Simon could have said, you do it. I'm tired. You're the Son of God. So you do it. Let me take a little rabbit trail right here. We may not say that literally, but when we say, Lord, I'm going to leave it all up to you. Hello. That's actually what we're saying. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I've done all I know to do. So, Lord, I'm just going to leave it all in your hands. It's all left up to you now, Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was? I mean, this thing would be a piece of cake. Everybody would want what we got tonight. If all we had to do is just come to church. But it's not left up to us. It's not totally left up to God. It's you and I getting in agreement with the Master. He has a part to play. I have a part to play. God's part is, He tells me where to go. My part is, I obey Him and go. God's part is, He tells me how to do it. My part is, I do it, even though I don't understand. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do it. Oh, amen tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, nets are breaking. So what did they do? They called for their partners. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had such miracle, that we had such answer to prayer, that we started calling everybody we know? And say, I toiled all night. But Jesus told me to do something. And I really didn't think it'd work. Because I'd already been there, you see. But just because He is who He says He is, I did it. And I just want to tell you the outcome. What do you think that would do for you? What do you think that would do for your partners, your friends, your family, your loved ones? I guess not very much. They had so many blessings. They called others to enjoy it. They had so big of a blessing. They wanted to share it. They had seen God do something so awesome. They wanted others to get in on it. And my friend today, I believe that's what God wants to do for us personally. That's what God wants to do for every church that preaches His Word. He wants to send such blessing, such power, so many miracles until we want everybody to get on and on it and get a little piece of the pie and get a little piece of the things of God that He's doing in our lives and our churches. You see, this is what God wants to do today. For people, individuals, for churches, this is what God wants to do. This is what He's up to tonight. He's just trying to get us to believe Him tonight. And to obey Him. You see, it's by faith and obedience. Amen. Now, a lot of people don't like the obedient part. But unless I'm obedient, my faith won't work. It doesn't matter how hard I believe God. It doesn't matter how hard I believe my answer is going to come. It is not coming. I am going to have to obey the Word of God. I'm going to have to say yes when I don't understand. I'm going to have to say yes when I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm on the verge of throwing in the towel. I'm going to have to obey God if I want to see Him divinely intervene in my life. If I want to see God divinely intervene in my life, and when it's the worst time possible, I'm going to have to obey the Word of the living Christ. And they came and filled both the ships, and they began to sink. I doubt if they complained. I seriously doubt it. Because they knew who they were in the presence of. Because He had just done what they had tried to do. Isn't it amazing the difference that Jesus makes? Isn't it amazing tonight how Jesus can turn something that seems to be so bad into something so miraculous? Isn't it amazing tonight how Jesus can come when it seems hopeless and give us hope? How Jesus can come when it seems as though it's the way we're going to be for the rest of our life. And He turns it all around. For did He not say, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Tonight, there is a Jesus who's in love with every one of us. Tonight there is a Jesus who wants us to believe in Him enough to obey Him. That's the difference. Do I believe in Jesus enough to obey Him in every area of my life? This is more believing He's the Son of God. This is more than believing He died on the cross. This is more than believing He rose from the dead. This is more than believing that He is seated at the Father's right hand. This is believing to the point that I'm willing to take the launch into deep waters when I can't touch the bottom. And I can't see the shore this way, this way, this way, or this way. It's just me and Jesus. That's all. But when you realize Jesus is all you have, that's when you realize Jesus is all you need. You see, today, my friend, He's got a word for you tonight. He's got a word for you tonight. A specific word for every person here right now tonight. Under the sound of my voice, God has a specific word. Question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to obey that word and experience the fullness of the blessing? Are you going to reject it and miss out on what God has for you? The choice is yours. Please stand. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your divine presence. Thank You for Your word tonight that is alive and doing very well. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It still pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And it is still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. So God, tonight, I pray that if there's one here tonight that needs to be saved, they'll come to the Savior. If there's one here tonight that needs to be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll come to the one that can do that. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that is Your child, but they just need to launch out a little deeper, may they do that tonight. May every person obey the word that was given to them tonight through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I ask. With their heads bowed or eyes closed, the altar is open for you.